crime, fewer killings, and fewer accidental deaths. I disagree. Even if all they say is true, and I doubt that it is, I disagree. Now, let me tell you why. Yes, I believe a person has a right to own a means of protecting himself against criminals, but that's not my main reason for disagreeing. And yes, I believe that criminals would get guns anyway, thus leaving the average citizen even more at their mercy than he is today. But that, too, isn't my main reason for disagreeing. Let's go back for a minute to the Constitution. We all know that it clearly specifies that you and I have the right to bear arms, and that that right cannot be infringed. An entire amendment deals with this right. The amendment is simple. It reads that, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, unquote. Underline, if you will, the word free when you read the Second Amendment. The Founding Fathers obviously were concerned about preserving freedom. They believed that arms in the hands of the people would secure freedom. They felt that a militia should be trained for just that purpose. Now, we've neglected to keep a well-trained militia, but that fact alone is not reason to also give up the right to bear arms. Interestingly, the Founding Fathers don't specify that the state is necessarily endangered from the outside, although that probably remained one of their concerns. But if one looks at the times during which the amendment was written, and at the context of the other 9 of those first 10 amendments, it becomes apparent that what they really feared was the possibility that government might take away the freedoms of the citizens in their newly created free state. Each of those first 10 amendments guarantees a freedom. The Second Amendment guarantees the right of the citizen to protect those other freedoms. Take away the arms of the citizen, and where is his defense against not only criminals, but also against the possible despotism of his government? In police states, they take away the citizen's arms first. This ensures the perpetuation of the state's power and the ability of the police to deal with dissenters as well as criminals. I believe that those who run our federal, state, and local governments today, as well as those who advocate disarming the people, have no sinister motives. But history tells us this won't always be the case. So isn't it better for the people to own arms than for them to risk enslavement by evil or power-hungry men or nations? The Founding Fathers thought so. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon, Friday family, KPRL listeners. I have to agree with Kenny Enney.
About what?
You have Darcia Stebbins and Kenny Enney today on Sound Off. And this Friday, which is our third or fourth show, I think this might be our third show. Anyway. We're having fun. We've gone back and forth about a bunch of different topics. And today what we'd like to do is there will be some updates for the Paso Robles school board, because it does impact all of our children, really.
So our fifth show.
Our fifth show. Gosh, it's like, you know, time flies, doesn't it? So we will have some updates. There was a special meeting of the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District on Saturday morning. I was out of town at a new California state conference. We can talk a little bit about that later on. And then for Tuesday's school board meeting, there were some updates. And so if you want to call in and talk about the Paso Robles School Board and what was going on, we can give you a little bit of a highlight. And then if you want more information about that, we can do that. What we thought we would do, since this Friday is right before the statewide and national elections, November 4th. So that is Proposition 50, and we've covered Proposition 50 redistricting. So I'm trying to say redistricting every time we say Prop 50, so people understand exactly what it's regarding. But that Proposition 50, you might have seen signs. Hopefully you've seen signs. You may have received calls. A lot of organizations, agencies are, you know, somewhat polarized as to why they think what they think. But I have been receiving a lot of election and voting questions. So I'd like to go through some of those questions. And if you have questions about what's coming up, what's on the ballot, how you go about voting in person on election day. And I keep telling people, let's get back to the Constitution. In the Constitution, it calls for an election day, not an election season. There's nothing in there about vote by mail ballots. And President Trump today, I have to read through the actual executive order, but there was an executive order today. Kenny's going to bring that up for me. Thanks, Kenny. But there was an executive order today that indicated that we will no longer have vote by mail ballots. I know he's been talking about specifically having paper ballots at the precinct, trying to get back to where we're constitutional, because let's face it, folks, we've been lied to. There have been lots of things that have happened even in the last 5 years with COVID. Going back further than that, let's talk Benghazi. Going back further than that, let's talk 9/11. Going back further than that, there's a lot of the, quote, conspiracy theory things that have come out that indicate that perhaps we have not been given all of the information. Would you agree, Kenny?
Well, it is Halloween, so I guess we can go down the conspiracy yes. rabbit holes, but it's nothing new.
Not one of my favorite
That's why
holidays.
There's a commandment that thou shalt not bear false witness, so it's nothing new.
All right. So, you know, as we go through these stages of grief together, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, I'll go through some of the election and facts and fiction, and even address some of the ones that the county clerk recorder has sent out, somewhat in response to me, somewhat in response to other people, but indicating that there's fact and fiction and misinformation that's being spread. So I just say, tell me where I'm wrong. I'll be happy to listen. We have a caller. We'll go to the phone lines. And then we have some kind of fun constitutional questions having to do with our government and our republic as it's supposed to be. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Kenny. I have a question. I passed out the federal school board, what do they call them, the federal, anyway, the federal rulings on Title 7, or Title 9, excuse me.
L9. Mm-hmm.
At the previous meeting, and you got one, right?
I did. I had a copy already. I'm okay. Actually going through my folder. I've got yours too.
What do they say? How can they say that they can't honor the federal when it says that they stated wrong?
I've banged my head enough.
Disgusting and infuriating.
I don't know, sir. This is like it boils down to their definition of. A woman or a man, you know, who was it? Matt Walsh, who did the movie or did the documentary, What Is a Woman? That board cannot define what a woman is. And so what you provided is stuff that I've brought up to them multiple times, and they're like petulant little children, and they close their eyes and stomp their feet and feet and don't want to admit it. The fact remains that I suspect that the United States government is going to come down on the California state government and say, you either start complying with Title IX and protecting the civil rights of these girls, or you're going to lose your funding.
Good.
And
I hope they do.
Conversations I've had with people that I would say in the know, they indicate that's going to be happening soon. They told me that in the end of September, and I was expecting it to really start October 1st, because that was the beginning of the federal fiscal year, but it hasn't. Maybe it hasn't happened because of the government shutdown. But that's the nuclear option for the federal government, and the impact for Paso Robles is it will put us in receivership. If it's $5.2 million of federal funding, and if that's pulled away, you know, we're hoping to get our deficit spending down to $4 million this year, $2 million next year. It will really throw a monkey wrench into the works. But the fact remains, to answer your question, as I've been saying for months now, the only way this board is going to protect the daughters of this and sisters of this community is either through lawsuit. You know, your options as a family are you pull your daughters out of school, file lawsuits, which I'm helping some families with that right now, and ultimately get rid of the leftists on the board that don't know the difference between a boy and a girl.
Well, now, Loftus said they hadn't received any complaints, but they've received several complaints from the students. What are they doing about those complaints?
They sent them very nice letters back. One of the families contacted me. They spelled the girl's name wrong, and they were form letters.
Basically saying, we received your letter. Thank you very much.
Right. That was pretty much it. I took great issue with, which I brought up at the board meeting on Tuesday night, I took great issue with the response back from the district to two of the girls, which said, we're obligated by federal law to let boys into the girls' locker room. They are not. There are 30 states right now in the United States that have laws on the books preventing boys in girls' locker rooms or from boys participating on girls' athletic teams. If it were against federal law,
the word biological men and boys, and put in the non-biological term of whatever they want to say they are.
My response to the district really is if we were obligated by federal law, then the federal government would have stepped in and told 30 states that you're violating Title IX.
And actually what has been occurring is the federal government is the one saying, we will withhold your funding if you do not comply with these laws or right. executive orders.
And that's the other issue I have with the district's interpretation. Yeah, they're saying the executive order is not a law. Well, that's true. But an executive order is telling the federal government how to interpret that law, which is Title IX. Title IX is a law. You've had two court decisions, one from the U.S. Supreme Court that basically said Title IX in 1972 was designed to protect the rights of girls. It wasn't about make-believe girls. I have a quote from the judge in Mississippi from last week said the same thing. So at this point, you know, the left wing of the Paso Robles board, you have two board members. Joel Peterson back in May said, hey, look, this is a parenting issue. If your daughters aren't comfortable with boys in the girls' bathrooms, then you didn't raise them properly. And now you have Nathan Williams that says even if it was required by law, he wouldn't support it. So
what they're hearing from their I think it's coming from the teachers union, and they're also hearing from their legal counsel
that they have
to follow the state law.
Exactly. And that's where I told Loftus and I told the board.
The superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you want to make the argument that we're required to do this by state law, you're right. I agree with you. But don't say it's a federal issue, because it's not. And you have to remember the supremacy clause of the Constitution, which says when federal law and state law are in conflict with one another, federal law is supreme. So, but it's Trump. So,
and it just so happens
there was the Trump clause we didn't know about when they wrote the Constitution.
And that's not the same thing as Santa Claus. And there's also the uniting flag that would be the American flag. That is, and the Constitution, which is the law of the land. So when you have a Constitution, who is the head executive of the United States of America?
The president, chief executive is the president of the United States. Commander-in-chief.
Exactly. So I think they're on thin ground, and even sheriffs, there. I think there are 37 sheriffs.
Let's go down that road.
Okay.
I think this is probably a good conversation to have now before we get into the Prop 50 and all this. Because in my opinion, this really shows the desperation of the left. When you have states like California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, New York, basically defying federal law, much in the same manner that South Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, and Alabama defied law, federal law in 1861. I think right now you're on the precipice of not necessarily a civil war like in 1860, but we are in very perilous times, because you've got state governments.
Sadly, I agree.
Federal U.S. representatives like Nancy Pelosi last week saying that federal agents should be arrested if they're executing their legally authorized duties. And I see it as right now, desperation on the part of the left. I still see things like Prop 50 as desperation on the part of the left. And when we get into Prop 50 and we start talking about the impact that it's probably going to have, because I pessimistically think that it's going to pass, people need to remember it only affects our federal representation to Washington, D.C. So why didn't Sacramento want to gerrymander everything, including the state offices? Because their concern is really more about U.S. Congress. You have right now conservatives, whatever you want to call them, normal Americans, in control of all three branches of the government. You have President Trump is back, so he's the chief executive. You have the Republicans that are they have a small majorities, but they're in control of Congress and the Senate. And I suspect that they'll probably increase that thanks to Gavin Newsom's temper tantrum and Prop 50. And then you have the Trump Supreme Court justices that are pretty much in charge of the judicial.
Now they've become.
And so the federal government, if
constitutional.
You know, Trump 2.0, he learned from his mistakes before, putting in idiots into his cabinet and just going along with whatever recommendations for judges were given to him. He's learned. And he's going to synchronize all three branches of government, and he's going to do things like potentially put in executive orders and get laws to do away with mail-in ballots.
And once certainly that starts, he has the authority to do that.
Yeah,
I believe he has the authority to do that.
I would debate you on that, because states ultimately have the authority over how elections are run.
For state elections.
Well, for any election. But I still argue, and if you look at the election of 1866, when all the Confederates were kicked out of Congress, Congress does have the authority to say, hey, here are the rules. If you want to sit in our legislative body, this is how federal elections are going to be conducted.
So, Kenny, what happened on January 6, 2021?
You had a riot. You had
when Congress, which should have stopped and read forward the letter that President Trump had sent to Nancy Pelosi, that never got read into the record. And it said, we believe that there are questions about the election results for November 2020.
Well, this is good Halloween stuff.
And that still has not yet been resolved.
Let's get back to that after the break.
We've got music coming. A word from our sponsors. We'll be right back on Sound Off.
Davis Body Shop, we receive many letters and emails and pay attention to what our customers have to say about our service. We realize that it's a stressful time after an accident, so our emphasis at Davis Body Shop is not only on the repair of your vehicle, but on the service and attention we provide from the minute you work with our professional staff. Here's what Adrienne had to say.
I found Davis Body Shop and Eric in particular to be very helpful and professional. They kept me informed throughout the process, through emails and phone calls, and went above and beyond what they said they would do. They also were very quick and had my car back to me ahead of schedule. I'm very pleased with the whole experience. Thank you, Davis Body Shop.
Davis Body Shop, the auto collision specialist that you can trust on El Camino Real in Atascadero with a convenient enterprise car rental facility on site. And Davis Body Shop at Paso Robles Chevrolet.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Welcome to the All-Star Moments of Freedom. Now, if your happy place is somewhere you unwind with a cold drink, delicious food, and sports on more LED screens than you can shake a remote at, well, then the sports bar at Chumash is your new escape. Doesn't matter if you're cheering on your favorite team or just enjoying the vibe. It's game on, friend. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Looking for a great indoor activity to get moving? Try Uncle Ed's Outfitters Indoor Archery for everyone 7 and over when accompanied by an adult. The new archery range is open 24 hours a day with unlimited access and coded entry for members. Uncle Ed's Outfitters would be happy to rent archery equipment or give you or the family a lesson from a USA Archery certified instructor. Book an hour or a day of indoor archery at Uncle Ed's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Oak Shopping Center in Atascadero near Guest House Grill.
Well, welcome back to Sound Off. Kenny Enny, Darcia Stebbins in studio today, and we've already begun a heated conversation, and perhaps we'll let it simmer for a little bit, but we are coming back to what is the current state of affairs in our country and California as a state with Proposition 50. And Proposition 50 redistricting was as a result, or what they say as a result of President Trump and Texas wanting to change the course of history and have a 100% dictatorship. And so California's Governor Newsom had to put something out right away and get this passed and on the ballot for out for a vote of the people. And I use that terminology or phrase very loosely. But that to get it out on a ballot so that people can vote on this as to whether or not they want to have less representation or more representation, depending on what side they're on. And so this is very polarizing. I'd like to just say, here's the from the official voter information guide. Proposition 50 authorizes temporary changes to congressional district maps in response to Texas's partisan redistricting legislative constitutional amendment to the state of California. So, Kenny, what do you think when this says it's a response to Texas's partisan redistricting?
Well, again, that's false. It wasn't partisan. It was directed by the courts. I guess the way they drew the map, because the Democrats lost, maybe
it was actually in response to racial discrimination. That was right. There were about 10 or 11 different lawsuits combined where they said, oh,
right.
This doesn't allow for the racial communities to be grouped together and they're undermined.
Yeah, it was. It's all part of the challenge down in the South to Section 2, the Voter Rights Act, which, you know, really since the Civil Rights Act, so that's 70 years, you know, the South has been gerrymandered based off of race. And so the Supreme Court with this Calais versus Louisiana case that they just heard, where Ketanji Brown Jackson, again, pointed out that black people are like mentally disabled. Isn't that what she said?
Well,
Clarence Thomas was there to correct her.
Back and say that, you know, when they're talking about not having identification or proof of citizenship, that these things are inconvenient to have a passport or inconvenient to have some kind of identification where there's proof of citizenship even. So that's where I take issue with it. But California is not about redistricting for race.
No, but but when you read through the court decisions, it talks about redistricting for partisan political purposes, and that's in the federal case. And when you read what a lot of people expect to happen with Prop 50, if it does pass, I think there'll be lots of legal challenges to it, the constitutionality of it, one, because they're violating the state constitution by doing this. But two, when you look at the federal cases in Texas and Louisiana and the U.S. Supreme Court now, it is blatantly obvious when you read the ballot measure that this is a partisan political redrawing of the map.
It's in response to a partisan.
Yeah, in retribution. You know, it's retribution against the conservatives in California.
There were some questions this morning. A caller had called in, and there were some questions this morning about what a yes on Prop 50 means and what a no on Prop 50 means. And so let's go through the numbers one more time. I'm a numbers person. 40 years now as an accountant. But the numbers are right now, the congressional districts in the state of California, we have 9 Republican seats. What Prop 50 is trying to do is take 5 away. And so there would be basically 4 Republican seats out of 52 representing California in Congress. So that's why we're here. We want to get the information out. I have been known to be spreading misinformation, so I took on the badge of honor as misinformation instead of Miss California. And we'll be covering that as soon as we come back from the break. It'll be the top of the hour break, and we'll be back ready for your calls, any questions. Thanks so much, Kenny Enney and Darcia Stebbins.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.